The Pope is Antichrist. He comes right out and says that in the next paragraph. But the Antichrist takes his seat in the midst of the temple, he says, quoting Paul. So here's the temple of God, Christendom, and the Antichrist is in the middle of it. So the Pope is the Antichrist in the middle of what is still really Christendom. Right? That conviction that Christendom matters and is still intact is something that Luther shares with Rome and not with the Anabaptists. Right? The Anabaptists do not believe in Christendom. Christendom is just one more form of worldliness. It's not Christian. Another point in which Luther is more Catholic than most Protestants, and this is a very deep point, I think, Luther joins the Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox in affirming baptismal regeneration. That is to say, he says we are born again through baptism. If you ask Luther, Luther, have you been born again? Right? Like, you know, some evangelist comes along to Martin Luther and says, have you been born again? He'll say, sure, I was baptized. That's not the way your typical revivalist is expecting to be answered. Notice what this means. It means that, for instance, conversion experiences for Luther are not so crucial. You're never going to get something like Lutheran revivalism, right? Because it's baptism that makes you a Christian, not your conversion experience. You can have a Lutheran conversion experience, but then what happens as a result of that is you go get baptized because you seek to become a Christian. Or, if you've already been baptized as an infant and you have some kind of conversion experience, Luther will think of that as returning to your baptism. That's what happens in repentance, right? So conversion means returning back to the God who baptized you and repenting of your sin and going back to the baptism which is still there. Right? It's a valid baptism. It's a ship that is still sailing. Right? You haven't made shipwreck of your faith. The ship is based on God's promise and it's there for you to climb back in by repentance. So instead of revivalism, you'll get a return to baptism in Luther. Think about it this way. Imagine that you got married and committed adultery and violated the marriage, right? Should you go back and then have a second marriage ceremony with your wife if you're reconciled with her? Right? You violate the marriage, then you patch it up. Do you go back and get remarried to sort of mend the whole thing? No, Luther says. The marriage is still valid, right? You violated the inner meaning of the marriage, but then when you reconcile, then you've put the marriage back together and the valid marriage is still there. Same thing with baptism. If you don't believe in your own baptism, that's a terrible sin, but if you return to the faith, then that's returning to the baptism that's always been there. It's always been valid. Luther, I think, affirms baptismal regeneration, that we are born again in baptism, because he wants to put his faith in the word of Christ. In particular, the word, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which he thinks is Christ's word, not the minister's word. Right? The minister is simply the mouthpiece. And here's how he puts it. I think this is very important for thinking about Lutheran spirituality, as it were. We are not to base baptism on faith, says Luther. We are. Were you expecting to hear this from Luther? We are not to base baptism on faith. Whoever allows himself to be baptized on the strength of his faith is not only uncertain about whether he believes, but also an idolater who denies Christ, for he trusts in and builds on something of his own, that is, his faith, rather than on God's word alone. Don't base anything on faith, because faith is based on God's word, not on faith. Granted, he adds, baptism is not of benefit to the baptized person who has no faith, but the baptism is not thereby incorrect, uncertain, or of no meaning. Or we could say it's not an invalid baptism just because you don't believe it. Right? So you need the faith in order to get the benefit of the baptism. Right? That's how you get the sacrament, the sign on the one hand, and these things signified are brought together by faith. Without the faith, you only get the valid sign. But you do get a valid sign. You don't have to repeat it. Just like an empty marriage is still a marriage, legally speaking, even if you don't love the person that you're married to. So the Reformed agree that the power of baptism lies in the promise of God and faith, not in the sign of water. Right? Like Luther, the Reformed think that the power of baptism comes from God's promise. But the Reformed agree with the Anabaptists that Luther seems to be restoring something like a magical form of sacramental efficacy, this ex opere operato stuff, where the sacrament works just because you work it the right way. This is ex opere operato. This is the idea that the sacrament is valid just because it's worked the right way.